Monday, 22nd week, Ordinary Time 1. The first reading from the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. But we would not have you ignorant brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve at others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 to 30. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as his custom was on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read, and there were given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogues were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture had been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and wondered at the razor words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard it, all in the synagogues were filled with wrath, and they rose up and put him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong. But passing through the midst of them, he went away. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. Hoping in the eternal life shall help people to eradicate their egotism. One of main reasons prevents people to advance on the way of perfection is the egotism, an exaggerated sense of self-importance. Most of people's sins come from this egotism. Why Jesus tried to teach his disciples to overcome this habit? The majority of today's people honor it under many different forms. For example, the individualism only aims at what is good for the individual. The materialism only aims at acquiring material things and ignoring spiritual and moral values. How can people eradicate this egotism? Today's readings help us to understand the dangers of the egotism and the way to destroy it. In the first reading, St. Paul encouraged the Thessalonians to orient their heart to the final goal of their life, which is the hope to live with God forever. In the Gospel, Jesus points out the dangers of those who live according to their egotism. They denied and wanted to destroy even the one who brings the eternal life for them. Second analysis. First reading. Our hope is to be resurrected with Christ. Third, the necessity of hope. Whatever people hope for, they shall live according to it. If people do not hope in the eternal life, they shall hang on to values of the temporal world. St. Paul reminded the Thessalonians about two main things of their life. First, death is not the end, but the beginning of one's eternal life with God. He said to them, "We would have you ignorant brethren concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." Second, right is the hope for the faithful. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Second point, Christ's second coming. The Jewish tradition before Christ had a vague understanding about the last day and the eternal life. Most of them believe the reward for those who live according to God's law are limited only in this world, such as a healthy body, a long life, having many descendants, and a peaceful life. But death is the end. Once people die, nothing is remained. The first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, written about 50 to 60 AD, is the first document which contains God's revelation about life after death. St. Paul mentioned what shall happen on the last day as follows. This we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Second, the Gospel. The attitude of suffocating the truth of Jesus' fellow countrymen. To return to the village when one was born and raised up should be a happy and memorial event. But in today's passage, it was an opportunity for the Jesus' fellow countrymen to destroy the most important figure of their village. Begin with the event in which Jesus entered a synagogue at Nazareth on the Sabbath, and he read the scripture passage of the prophet Isaiah, which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. Third point, the ingratitude action. According to St. Luke's report, all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his mouth. Two other synoptics, Matthew and Mark, gave the reason for their unbelief, which is they knew his parents and brothers and sisters, while Luke said the reason of their unbelief is because he did not perform signs for them to see. A sad fact which Jesus mentioned in today's passage. no prophet is accepted in his own native place. A Vietnamese proverb says, when one person becomes a royal officer, his whole kin shall be helped. Jesus and his fellow countrymen might think the same, but the two sides had different viewpoints. Why they want him to do wonderful signs to satisfy their material needs? Jesus wanted them to understand the important truth. He is the Son of God. They must believe in him and in his teaching to have the eternal life. The truth hurts because those outside of the family and the church have a stronger faith in God than those in the family and the church. Jesus reminded people this sad fact many times in the gospel. For example, the officer of the synagogue, the Canaan martyr, the good Samaritan. Why did this sad fact happen? There are due to many reasons. First, some may think that they are wise and already know all the truth. Secondly, they are so zeal to a preacher so that his preaching is no longer important to them. Thirdly, they are so zeal with favors from their benefactor so that they lost the sense of gratitude. Lastly, they lost their sense of the truth, having eyes but are unable to see, having ears but are unable to hear, having mind but are unable to think, and their heart is dull and becomes stony. This attitude of turning their back to the truth discouraged many prophets because they worked hard without receiving a result. Is it better to give to those who welcome them, those whose minds are still sensitive to the truth? Their hearts are gratitude to favors, and their mouths know how to say thank you. How painful for us because these people, most of the time, are those outside of our family and community. Jesus lifted out two cases in which the people were the Gentiles. Indeed, I tell you, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of thee that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath, in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Second point, the planned reaction. Not only refusing the truth, but they also let their anger control them, and they wanted to kill Jesus who spoke the truth. The passage reported their reaction as follows. When the people in the synagogue heard this, They were all filled with fury. They rose, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he parted to their midst and went away. If those people who lost their conscience, is there any hope to convert them? They are pressed at the cover of an egg, but wanted to put their head to a mountain. They must get the result of hurling themselves to deep valley. No matter how merciful Jesus is, he was not able to save the blinded and blindfold person because they chose to be lost. Jesus left them in their mess and went away. Application in life. Hoping in the eternal life must be a factor helping us to overcome our egotism to do what Christ teaches us. When we eradicate our egotism, God shall fill us with His love and blessing, so we shall become more like Him every day. In opposition, if we let our egotism dominate, we shall gradually go the point that we shall deny even our final goal of life. Amen.